You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, which you just heard all about. I have a beautiful guest today, and I'll bring her in a few. First, I want to tell you the magazine is up, mysticlivingtoday.com. I don't know. I've had people that send me 3 and 4 articles. Now I'm already getting stuff, and this is only the 9th of September, and I'm already getting stuff for the next issue, which makes me feel really good because it means that I'm doing a good job and they love the work that I do, and everybody knows how much I love the magazine, and I really, really do. And then I want to tell you about Stars with a Z, psychics.com. Of course, that's the other site, and then I have another one, planetstarswithaz.com. That was the first site I ever created. But Stars Psychics has a lot of talent sitting over there. We have specials going on. We're going to be sending out a massive email. It's going to be a mailer to all the existing clients, and we're going to do something called Stars Rewards. Tony and I, my webmaster, are talking about that a little bit back and forth about what we really want to do, but that's going to be exciting because most sites like mine don't do that. I want to reward people that come to the site on a regular basis, not just give them a good price, but reward them at the same time. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest who is in Spain right now. Mind you, that's why the show is at 2 o'clock, and it's so exciting. She said she's in a city near Barcelona, which we can all relate to. She mentioned where she is, and I'll ask her to talk about it. But here she is. Maharani, how are you today? Or tonight. It's your night, right?
Hi, Natalie. Yeah, it's my night.
It's your night, well, my day. You. Oh, well. That's almost like vampires. My night, your day. But anyways, I'm so excited to have you. I've never had anybody like you. I was telling Maharani early on, before we got on the air, that I had a gentleman who was a Ishaya monk. He wasn't an Ishaya. Now, that just means what type of monk you are, correct? Let's explain that to the listeners. What does that mean, to be the type of monk that you are?
Yes, Ishaya monk, I guess that's how you would express it perfectly, is the type of monk we are. So Ishaya monks are monks that, Ishaya, it's a word in Sanskrit, and it means for the highest consciousness. And that's basically our whole mission, or the whole thing we do. It's we dedicate our lives to increase consciousness in ourselves and in the world.
And boy, we sure need it right now, don't we?
I would really agree.
Yes, we really do. And I've said this on my shows before, that I think a lot of this is called like a comeuppance, you know, where whatever you believe in, it doesn't matter. It's time to change how we are in the whole world, not just in the United States, but in the whole world. It's not about the money. It's about taking care of people, being kind to people. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, something drastic has to be done so that you actually stop what you're doing or step back and say, oh, now I get it. You really get it? And what's it like in Spain? I mean, are you having a lot of COVID there, or people having to stay home? I mean, I know a lot of countries are right now, but I don't know about Spain.
Well, I think the measurements have, like, lessened, but there's still some control around it. Like, people need to wear masks, and there's like, gatherings can't exceed certain, you know, numbers and stuff like that.
Right.
The case is going to increase, and then but it seems to be more controlled. But I live in a very, very, very tiny place in the mountains, so I don't really kind of feel it so much because I'm not interacting in the city life, which is where I guess you would kind of experience more of the difference right now.
Right. Oh, it sounds like it's beautiful in the mountains. I mean, is it nice and warm there right now?
No, not warm. It was really warm, but I think the fall kind of hits here quicker than if I go down to the city, you know? So
yeah.
I'm wearing a long sleeve and, you know, I'm a bit cold today.
But I bet you're kind of, I have this feeling of, I mean, I've seen you on your site, but I have this feeling that you're slight. I'm slight. I'm cold all the time. I mean, it can be near 100 here. And I'm in South Carolina. It gets very hot here and very humid. And, you know, I'll say to my cat, Muji, Muji, what's wrong with me? I feel cold. And it's silly. But I think sometimes that happens to people. But anyways, let's get on with you. Tell me how this all began for you. Start from the beginning when you were younger than you are now. And what pulled you in this direction? I do this with all the authors and anybody that I interview, because the listeners probably are thinking, well, why did she do this? How did she start with this? And did she follow somebody else, or did somebody, they have to invite you, or what? So take us back to when you first began with all of this. I'm so curious.
Well, I mean, I always had this sense, you know, since I was a little girl, and I remember this very strongly, that I came here to do something important or big. And I actually think most people have that, you know, like this like there's something more to life.
Right.
But it was really, really strong in me. Like there's something more to life than what I've been presented. And then, you know, maybe I was a teenager and I remember having these conversations with my father, telling him, I need to discover who I am. I need to know who I am before I know what I want to do, you know? And I just had this very strong urge in me to find who I was. And then I kind of completely forgot about it and went to university and was kind of really depressed and invisible to the world and forgot everything about that strong urge to discover what was behind the scenes in life. And I was like 21 and I went through like this massive breakup that completely destroyed me, you know. I was very, very in love with that guy. And I feel like I hit some sort of rock bottom that I was like, this can't be life. If I'm here to just suffer and kind of survive and kind of try to pay bills and be heartbroken, I quit. Like, unless I'm shown a different way. And I remember distinctly the moment when I actually kind of said that to God or some higher power out there, you know. And then after that moment, like books started presenting to me, or I started meeting different people, and it was a lot of around the message of the truth is within, you know. You got to look within, you got to reconnect with within, like that's where that real self exists. And I started doing a lot of, you know, energy healing and therapies and following a path, trying to find that truth that I was yearning for. And then one day I just read a poster, and it was not even a poster. This is like 2001. It was just a piece of paper on a wall, you know, and it was talking about these Shaya monks. And it was saying that their mission was to heal the world through healing themselves first. And it talked about enlightenment being accessible for everybody. And it just stayed with me. There was something in me that lit up when I heard the name. And I still kept going in my life, very chaotic life. You know, I moved to Canada. I was looking around everywhere trying to find this. But this, I kept coming back to these Ishayas, you know, researching about them and trying to, I try to know before I experienced.
Right.
And then when I was like 25, somebody called me on the phone, and I was in my hometown visiting for vacation, and somebody called me and said, hey, we have this Ishaya monks coming to town. Do you would like to take their course, their ascension course it's called? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then after that, it was just, I tasted that experience, you know, that experience I was looking for of the truth within, or the peace within, and it started growing. And like 4 years later, the pull was so strong that I just wanted to commit my life to it. And
was that a big step for you?
I mean,
it must have been. I mean, because I we'll get into it, what it entails, but it's almost like you're giving up. I don't want to say a normal life. You're giving up a different life, is what it is. It's just different. It doesn't mean you're giving up life, and people have to understand that. And I was when I was talking to Maharani before the show, I was saying, I know you have to be very disciplined to do this in the first place. You have to get a calling, a true calling, because that has to be like, you know, I'm looking at something and that's what I'm focusing on, and everything to the left, everything to the right and behind me, I'm not really paying attention to. I'm focused on where I'm going and what I will be doing and need to do. And that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's what I'm getting, that I feel that. And I envy that about you because, you know, most people, they don't realize how devoted you have to be to this. This is just not playing a game. You know, it's and it's not like, well, I think I'll become a Catholic today, or I'll be a Protestant, or I'll become go into Judaism. It's nothing like that. It's your whole life. It's your way of life. Okay, so you went and you met this group, and of course, then you were hooked, right? As they say, is that what happened?
Well, yes and no. And actually, you know, I love when you say about the discipline, because I was never disciplined with anything in my life, anything. I changed bachelors 9 times. I switched boyfriends like shirts in a mall. I was always never committing to anything in my life. And when I met the Shias and I took the course, even though I loved it and I tasted that pure experience, 6 months later, I had totally forgotten about it. And I was off again, traveling, getting in trouble. It kept pulling me back. And every time I practiced this, it was like, why do I even stop doing this? And like, every time I close my eyes and I introduce this meditation or I talk to these monks, these guys have what I want. They have life behind their eyes. They're joyful. They're peaceful. They're normal, which is what attracted me so much about this path. It was all about your experience. You know, it wasn't about wake up at 5 in the morning and give up everything and you can't get married at all these things. It was like, this is all about your experience. And you have to be disciplined in the sense that, yes, it's got to be more important than anything else. You know, it's got to be your priority all the time. But you can't separate it from human life, which is what I...
Excuse me.
Or because, yeah, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just having my honey.
Yeah.
Okay, so continue on. Don't pay any attention to me. Just... You're real focused into this, and I want everybody to hear it because it will be—it's recorded and it's important. It's very—I just feel it's very, very important right now, especially today in this world. Yep.
It's just that the human life is your field of practice. You know, it's like it's not about changing your life. It's like a lot of people think devoting yourself to spirituality or to God or to consciousness means you gotta go somewhere and hide. And I don't think necessarily that's true for everybody, you know, because for me, it's about changing the platform where you live your life from. Testing ground is always your own life, your own expression of life. And so, yeah.
So, okay, so you met this group, and then 6 months later, I mean, you always kept going back to this. You always kept going, being pulled in that direction. So what happened to make you decide, okay, absolutely, this is what I want to do, this is who I want to be, this is the kind of help I want to give, and I feel that so strongly with you. I think I would feel that, and I did with this gentleman that I interviewed. It was the same thing because, you know, most people can be real frivolous and, oh, yeah, I'm going to go here. Like you were doing. I mean, you were just doing your own thing. But now... it's really changed for you. And when did this begin for you, this whole thing. It was it back in 2009? Is that what you did? Is that where this all began? You had to go. Did you go to Spain? Is that where you went from where you lived, or how did that transpire for you? That's what I'm curious. I mean, do you have like a mentor? I got all these questions, don't I, at one time. Did you have like a mentor that was assigned to you that could answer your questions before you actually made the commitment? Because that's serious. All of that is serious. And what happened? How did you actually get into, was there a ceremony? You see what I'm getting at? I really want to know how this all began. And you take vows, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Isn't that what you do?
Yes, at some point, yes.
Okay.
Well,
so, let's go back. Go ahead. Start. I want to hear the... It's called the whys. I call them the whys and the wherefores. I want to know what pulled you finally to do this.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I was finishing I was living in Barcelona. I was finishing acting school. I was planning. This was my plan in my head. I was planning to move to LA and try to pursue kind of that kind of acting life. And in the summer. But throughout all this like that last 4 years, I kept practicing. I was more and more involved with it. I would talk to any Shia monk is always available to speak, right? So you can just contact one, and you all your questions are answered through your own experience and through the experience of all these teachers that exist in the world. And then in one moment or in summer, I don't know. It was just this intuition or this pull saying, no, this is the time, this is what you got to do now, you know, like, and through signs, if you believe in signs, or conversations, then it was very evident, like, I need to do this, I need to turn around and go and do this in Spain, which I lived in Barcelona, so it wasn't like a big travel.
Okay.
But the Ishayas used to be in Mexico. And then this Ishaya teacher one day contacted me and said, guess what? The Ishayas are moving to Spain.
Ah.
So it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, perfect. No, perfect. That was a synchronicity, as we call them. That was a divine order, as I like to say. It was divine order. It's like the universe looking down and saying, okay, how can we do this? We want her presence. You know, I mean, just think of it that way. And so, okay, well,
that's
we're
exactly
just going to mosey on to Spain now, because it'll be more conducive for her and others, you know. And that's my little theory on it, is that was especially for you. It was.
That's how it felt like. I was like, oh, my God, okay. Like, in my personal case, in my journey, it was, I knew that's what I came here to do. And I was, in my little head, I thought, well, I'm just going to have some fun before I go live this boring life. But I can't escape it because that's my mission. And I was 100% wrong, because I have much more fun now. But that's what was holding me back. And when you asked, you know, if it was it was a very serious decision for me to make, and it didn't come easy for me. I fought a lot of resistances in my head, and what ifs, and I don't want to, but there was an inner pull that was like, this is what you have to do, and so I followed it.
Well, now, when you begin this journey, I like to call it a journey, are you assigned someone special to answer your questions, to help guide you, to make it easier for you? I mean, you don't just decide, well, this is what I'm going to do, I want to go there. Are you given somebody that you can talk to? How does that work?
There's so many people. I mean, you don't get assigned anybody in particular, but you have the teachers that teach you the techniques, and then you start meeting other teachers through different meetings, and there's a lot of support. You know, you could just go to the website and find a teacher that you like their face or whatever, and send them an email,
right,
or call them, and So that there's a very big network of support. So I always felt supported through this decision making and through this experience. Like whenever I would freak out, you know, we'd be like, okay, what's your concern? Let's talk about it. So it's not, yeah, you don't get assigned somebody in particular, but there's so much help.
Now, another question I have is, what did your family think when you said, well, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, actually, both my parents were...
did they go, no, you can't do that, you can't do... Or were they very easy and say, well, it sounds to me and looks to me like this is what you really want to do, so it has to be a good thing. How did they feel about it?
Well, I think I had really given them so many headaches through my teenage years that they were used to kind of... They both were aware I was trying to find my mission in life and that I was not going to stop until I found it. And I feel very blessed that they both, yeah, of course we had obviously a lot of moments throughout the years, but they were both really allowing of my search. And when I decided to do this, they were both super supportive. And also because I've been practicing already for like the last 4 or 5 years and they saw a massive change in me. So they knew it was a good thing because they saw the how I was changing with this practice or with this teaching.
You were like a wild child.
Yes,
and it's like, yeah, like a revelation. Well, God, we got to do something with this girl here. She's going down the wrong path here. We got to get her on the right path. Okay, so you go, now how long is the initial beginning of this? I mean, you don't just go in and they say, okay, you're a monk now, you know, you can choose your name, you can, how does that happen?
Well, no, actually, it was a six-month retreat. That's what I did.
Okay.
And so you go in, and it's not like you go in to say, oh, hey, I'm here to become a monk. It's like, You come to these retreats, people come to these retreats because you want more from life. You want more from that experience. And so I committed for 6 months. And then at some point, you know, if you feel the pull, you ask for a teacher. There's a teacher. There's the main teacher of the teachers. And that's when your monastic path begins. When it comes from your heart to ask the teacher to be your teacher.
I see. I mean, in the beginning, was it tough on you mentally, physically, emotionally? It must have been tough, right? You're going into a different life, right?
I think it was tough for like maybe the first couple of weeks, just in the sense that I was not used to being around so many people because it's a retreat, right? There's like 80 people from all around the world and you're sharing your room and there's like a schedule and I was not used to any of that. But the practice and the support, you know, because you have meetings with the teachers all day, made it super quick that I knew I was in the right place and that the experience I was having was worth the 6 months. By the time it ended, I didn't want to leave. I was so happy, you know.
That's really wonderful. It really, really is. Okay, so tell me, do you live with the others? How does that process work? I mean, obviously, you don't go off and say, okay, bye, I'm a monk now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? What happened, okay, like, say after you, I want to say graduated or whatever you want to call it, do you just stay with that whole group, that original group? Do you pair off? I mean, do you go off into smaller groups? What I'm trying to get an idea of what it was like for you because here you're coming from, I can do whatever I want. I can travel wherever I want. Are you restricted? That's what I want to know.
Oh, God, no. No, not at
all.
I mean, yes, during those 6 months, because you're in a retreat, of course you are, you know, like, but
yes.
That's what a retreat means. But no, I think in the past, like many, many years ago, there was that, you know, they would live in groups in different centers around the world and stuff, but not since I became a monk and became part of the Ishayas. You basically have a normal life if you choose to. So there's Ishayas all over the world living with their partners or with their families, or some do live in groups, but because they want to. And I particularly live with my partner, who is an Ishaya as well. And I live in a mountain where there's a lot of other monks, and we live here in our own homes.
I see. Okay. But you are not allowed to marry, correct? Is that what you said?
Yes, no, I am. I am allowed to marry.
Oh, you are? Okay. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that... You know, and that's part of commitment, which you make when you go into this. I'm going to see some of these questions here. Now, are you allowed, I guess I'm trying to get it, are you allowed visitors? Can your family come and see you?
Absolutely. I live the most normal life when it comes to those kind of rules. Like, we don't have these rules, because it's not about that. It's not about, you know, like some traditions take vows, right? And
correct.
And we take
yes.
vows as well. But you can interpret the vows externally, or you can interpret them internally. And
okay.
So what I loved about this tradition from the beginning is it's all about the internal experience. So there's a lot of discernment. You know, experience, I guess, comes responsibility, you know, about kindness, about not being reckless, about, discernment of how you're holding yourself up. But it all comes from your own experience. And so sometimes
okay.
you will mess up and then, you know, make something more important than the presence of God or that divine presence. And then you come back to it, but you learn from that. So there's no rules about who you can be with or marry or see. Like, I spend months in Mexico. I go and see my family whenever I want. There's no... I mean,
yeah,
I
there's no
me,
restrictions.
Like,
you know, yeah, and people are thinking, well, okay, is this like being a nun? No, it's not. I was raised a Catholic. No, it's not. I'm going to tell everybody that. No, it's not. Because you have... freedom. And that's the whole thing, sounds like to me, is that it's your choice. You don't get this little book that says, okay, you can do this, but you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. It sounds to me like the whole, I almost like to say family, I don't know why, but it sounds like the whole thing is they want you to be happy from within. They want you to do what you feel from within. It's not about rules and regulations. Like, you know, in school you have rules. You have to be there. You be there on time. You got to do this. You got to do that. It doesn't seem to be like that. Am I correct about it?
Yes, very correct. And that's what I love about it. Because that's what I had to sense since I was a little girl. Like, God is free. God is joyous. God is the world. Why? You know, considering maybe dedicating your life to God, I was always a little pulled back by all these regulations and restrictions, and almost even suffering seemed to be implied in that, in giving your life to God, and that just didn't connect with my natural knowingness, if you will, of what God was. And so when I found this Ishayas, and it's called the Path of Joy, right? I was like, yeah, this makes sense to me. So, yes.
Sounds like
no,
it does.
It's not like a nun.
Yeah, and being raised like I was surrounded by them. I'm going to tell you, I saw a lot of unhappy people. They were like they were chained. And I always thought, why would you want to do this to yourself? Why? You know, I mean, this was like when I was 9 years old. And I realized, and I've said this before many times, you know, I had to take all the sacraments, okay? You've probably heard about that. Okay, so you take all these sacraments.
Yes.
And then you're sitting in church and you're looking around and all you see is all this gold. I wasn't impressed with this gold at all. To me, it reeked of money. And I'm looking around, and, you know, my mother wanted me to go through all of this. I was baptized a Greek Catholic, not a Roman Catholic, so that was really a no-no at that time. But I questioned in my head. I didn't ask questions, but I questioned, well, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to, on Good Friday, kneel from the back of the church all the way to the front on these marble floors? This is no joke. We had to do that on Good Friday.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I did it because that's what I was taught. It was just part of it, you know. But once I reached a certain age, like 9 and 10, after I did all the sacraments, my name, my confirmation, blah, 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 I started really questioning, why do I have to be here to talk to God? Mm-hmm. And nobody really had an answer. Of course, I never really asked. I figured it out on my own. You know, to me, and I talk to him every day, and I talk to Jesus every day. And anybody else that wants to listen to my as I laugh and say my dissertations, because sometimes I get, you know, come on, we got to fix this. This is a mess, you know. I've said this many times, just give me the tools, I'll do it. I have no problem. And so I realized that I'm really grateful that I did, but I don't think I could do what you did. Now, tell me something. Are you allowed to have children?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad.
I don't have any children.
Oh, I love this. I mean, this is, like, great. So this is like a religion, right? I mean, of sorts. It's a religion.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a teaching for me.
Yes. Yes, I mean, we don't want to put it in a box and say it's a religion, because it's really not. It's much more than that. And, okay, so you started this, in 2010, correct? Is that when you became a mom?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it scary for you?
No.
Okay. I have to ask
silly
questions because I don't know.
No, they're great. No, they're great
you
questions.
Know, yeah,
I mean,
the listeners to understand that there are those out there who, I want to say, practice what they preach. I have the greatest respect. I really do. I have the greatest respect, period, for anything. But I was so happy that I could have you on the show, because I think people need to know another side of something that's there. So, because they need to learn from it. They need to learn. You know, the kindness and the caring and all of that, that's exactly what you do. But it comes naturally to you. Many, many, all over the world, it does not. They're always looking for challenges. They're always looking for, well, I don't want to do that, I want to do that. So long as it's for the good of mankind and it doesn't hurt anyone, then try it. Yes, absolutely. But so you've never regretted doing this at all. I'm assuming it. I can hear in your voice. You sound so happy.
No, I did. Yeah, I didn't. Not at all. Never. It's for me, it's the best decision I made, because I just realized even though, as you were saying, I had a goodness and I wanted the good. Like you see it in the world nowadays, like somebody's trying to do good, but what they think is good is not good for another person. And they're also trying to do good, and it just becomes super chaotic. And for me, the opportunity, or when I started reading and looking more and more, it was, I wanted to transcend the mind. I wanted to transcend living from that duality of the mind, because I realized no matter how pure my intentions were, if I was still operating from the mental constructs, there was no purity in it. So it's not like all the time kindness would come to me. Sometimes I want to, I've been wanting to rip somebody's head off, in my mind, not physically, but But there's also this violence that exists in the realm of the mind, right? And for me, this retreat that I did, this whole monk thing, it wasn't just because I wanted to be a monk. It was because it was being granted the opportunity to live beyond the constructs of the mind. And that's where, for me, the field of consciousness exists, or the presence of God exists. And when you're communing with God 24/7, then every action that comes through you has to be pure, because
exactly.
The qualities of God are praise and gratitude and love, you know?
Exactly.
And so, no.
You know, no anger, no, I want to do this, I don't, yeah. And I think your life can be so much better when you are like that. Earlier today, I mean, you know, I believe so much that sometimes it hurts me, but I had some moments where I just was having some trouble. So I thought to myself, okay, what makes you feel good? You know what makes me feel good? Putting my headphones on
what?
And listening to my music with my headphones. It's no joke. When I do my magazine, that's what I do. And somebody told me, an author told me, she said, I think what happens to you is you rise at the greatest potential that you have when you're doing your magazine and listening to your music. And it's true, because I don't have a care in the world. I mean, all of a sudden, because I was looking at the time, because I thought, well, I got to get ready here, and because I'm going to have my talk, and I was back to the place that I really wanted to be, and I didn't have to meditate. It was a set of circumstances that I think that I set up for myself that I do it. And it's like little triggers. You know, sometimes we need little triggers. And because somebody said to me once, well, how is it that you always sound so good? And I said, I'm not always so good. You know, I mean, I have moods. I mean, I have a site, and, you know, with people that work on the site, and I care about them so much that my son told me this again today. Mother, stop worrying about it. It's all going to be okay. It's going to be okay for you. It will. Now, you know, he's not even as strong in his beliefs like I am. And so, you know, he called me the other day, and I said, oh, I don't know. I want these people to earn a living. Mother, you got to stop worrying. It's not good. You always talk about the energy that you put out. You always talk about the energy that you are. So I realized that I can find something that I can get this inner pleasure from to make me go to another place rather than be upset about things and worry about things. Because a lot of things you just can't change. You can put out the good thoughts. You can do the good things. But for some things, it's not going to make a difference. It's going to run like it's supposed to run. You know, and unfortunately, I mean, if I could change some things in the world, oh, you bet I would. I know some things right now that I would like to change. Not for me personally, but for the world. So, but you have to put out that goodness like you do. You put out that goodness. Now, I have another question, all these questions from Natalie. Do you dress like a monk?
No. I have a color.
These are good questions. Really, these
color.
Are good questions because somebody thinks
no,
about a monk.
No, great question.
Now, okay, so you don't dress like a monk, but there are some, and I don't know how to put it this way, but there are some monks that wear actually the long robes. Isn't that true?
Yes, and I don't wear that. I have a color. So whenever I teach or whenever I'm in any Shaya event, I wear red. But
oh.
I can wear any type of red I want. Like I wear jeans, red jeans and a shirt, or a red dress, or that's
okay.
My color. There's also white monks and black monks.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, and you get to choose your color?
But it varies. Most of the times the teacher assigns it to you. Like it's like, oh, I want you to wear white or black or red. Or sometimes, you know, you feel it in your heart and you ask if you can change colors, or and then he might say yes or he might say no. And it all depends on what he sees serves either you or the community you're in.
Okay. Do some colors get chosen more than others?
There tends to be more white ishayas than red or black.
Okay. What type of monks were these? I have this vision in my head, these long robes with this tie that's like a rope. What I mean, because there are variances of monks. I mean, they're not always, I mean, they're not like you. I mean, there's a lot of them, correct, out there?
Yes, there are a lot.
Okay, so isn't it kind of amazing that you weren't pulled to a different type? Do you ever think about that?
Yes, I do, and I'm very, very grateful that I wasn't, because I really enjoyed this stuff.
That's so cute. I mean, oh, I'm glad I wasn't. Trust me on that one. Okay, I'm going to ask Candy. She's in the chat room because she was so excited about listening to you. She's the one that does all the marketing. Mm-hmm. Candy, do you have any kind of a question that you would like Maharani to ask, to answer? She does all the media work for me, and she's really great at it. She really, really is. I don't see her typing anything. I know she's listening. I know she's listening because I can see. But maybe she'll type something. I'm trying. Okay, so how many years have you been in this? How many years have you done this? Since 2010, correct?
I've been a monk or a teacher since 2010. And I've been practicing the meditation technique that the Ishayas teach since 2005.
Okay, now, I've got another question. I mean, you know, Jackie, who does my content, she's only got four questions here. Well, I've gone way beyond four questions. How do you support yourself, you and your partner? How do you earn money to support yourself?
Well, I have various income streams. I teach the meditation courses, so that's one income stream, and then I work as well in the kind of organizational part of the Ishayas, so that's another little income stream. And then I have when my mother passed away, I inherited a ranch, a pecan ranch, and so they have a lot.
Wow.
So I just do all these little incomes. Sometimes I do one-on-one.
With somebody,
readings with people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so just always comes, actually. And
your partner,
my fiance, he.
Okay. Are you the same? I mean, do you do the same kind of thing? You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Is it down the same path? I suppose is what I want to say. I mean, I know both monks.
Yes, he's an Ishaya monk as well, and he works. He's got an online community, and he's done therapies, techniques to kind of help people go through to resolve the root cause of physical and emotional ailments. So he does that therapy and kind of helps people that way.
Okay. Okay. Candy wrote a question. She said, we have to talk about this, your book. What prompted you to write the book, Whole Ass? And I know everybody's probably gasping and saying, what kind of a name is that for a book? But, I mean, it's not the whole name of the book. That's just part of it. That's just, I want to say, like an intro. What made you want to write the book?
Well, being an Ishaya, you know, I would see some of my, I don't know how I call them, colleagues or classmates or Ishaya fans, that even though they were Ishayas, they still wouldn't experience life as I was experiencing it. And other Ishayas were, because that's the world I move around. And through observation, my sense was that it wasn't because the path wasn't right for them. It was because they were just half committed to it. And then being me, my past so uncommitted, then I started having such a different experience with commitment. Like the moment you fully commit to something, that's when you kind of take everything from it. And sometimes we wait to do the opposite, right? Like we're waiting to see if the thing works or if the thing is good enough, so then I'll commit fully. And then that prompted me on that kind of, I don't know, path of discovering this aspect, which was like, well, if I have half my life, why do I expect life to give me everything? Why do I expect to have a happy, full life if I'm just kind of with it? And so all that kind of started creating the desire in me to write this book, because it's my favorite way of expression, you know, writing. I've written since I'm five. So it just came together to bring this message, because to me it's like what I want to tell humans, like, dudes, you know?
Right. And the remainder of the title is Stop Living a Half-Assed Life and Enjoy an Extraordinary Existence, which it makes a lot of sense, because how you have to reach your full potential. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, sometimes when you're real young, you can't expect that to come too soon. It just doesn't happen that way. It takes experience, what I call floor experience, that where you can, you go through all the steps and everything. Like, I have a son, I have a granddaughter, I have a daughter-in-law, but with my son, I had to go through all of that, being a mother, la, 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 all that, experience all that. And and some of us, it takes longer. Sometimes it's a shorter period of time. Now, another question. Do you ever want to have children?
I'm not sure, to be
honest.
Okay,
good answer. No, that's what I expected from you.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You will not, I don't think, until you feel that you and your fiancé are in that place, because that's a big responsibility to you and him as well. But I'm talking to you, so I know it's from you. And so I think that for you, it's, I mean, and you're still pretty young. How old are you? Can I ask you that?
Yes, I'm 39.
Okay, plenty of time. Okay, plenty of time. Am I kind of right? You won't until it's right, until you. And it takes time. I mean, that takes part of your life. That changes your life. Children change your life.
Yeah, so I've heard.
So you might be so happy and content and fulfilled, and that word is important, fulfilled, with your life, that you don't want to change it. I admire that with you. I mean, you've taken some great steps, and you're going down this, what I would think, a beautiful path, and I only see that in front of you. I don't see anything else, and I don't think you will allow anything else to come through. I think it's what you really want. I sound like I'm a prophet, but I'm really not. But I think I'm just so excited to talk to you and hear, and I'm sure the listeners are, to hear what it's like from the female side. I mean, I had a male, but he was a different kind of a monk. I can't even remember what he was. I think he wore the brown robe. I could see him in my head, and this rope belt. Now, I don't know what kind of monk he was, but he was different. Now some monks, I think, you can't talk to anybody you just don't talk to anybody. Isn't that true? There are some cultures, I guess I want to call it a culture of that.
So.
Isn't that true that they just, all they do is pray all day long?
Yeah, I think there's some traditions that they take a vow of silence. Yeah.
Yeah. How hard would that be? Oh, especially like for me.
Oh, I know.
You're listening to me and say, oh, God, she would never pass that course. No.
I would never pass that one either.
That takes a different kind of person, absolutely. Okay, so do you like... Okay, so you don't wear any long robes. So when, like, do you go to, like, a grocery store, I mean, or do you grow your food? This pecan farm, this sounds wonderful. I love it. You grow pecans.
I don't grow the pecans. I don't know anything about growing pecans, but my grandfather was a
had a pecan ranch, and now my uncle has it. And then, you know, because my mother passed away, she inherited me something. But it's, I'm just really grateful we have that in the family. I feel just really, really blessed. And yeah, I go to the supermarket a lot, and I'm actually just this year we're wanting to learn to grow our own food, because I don't know, this whole pandemic thing has just, me and my partner, at least it's been hitting us on that side of reconnecting more with the roots and with earth and being more grateful to it and actually learn to live from the land, you know?
You know, that doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me. I would think that would be a calling for you to grow your own things, like, and depending upon the type of climate that you're in, I'm sure you would find out, well, what works well for here, what doesn't work well. Like here in the South, we stay warm till November. We have November to December, January, February, March, spring comes. Early March, spring is here. The flowers start to... So we don't really have a winter. I mean, it can get cold here on occasion, like at night, but as soon as it gets cold, it's gone. The next day it could be 75.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't stay here. And I'm not far from the ocean. And, you know, that controls the climate a lot. And it's also a breeding place for hurricanes. But right now, you know, and I watch all of that. Listen to this. You're going to love this. I have the map of the United States. And when I see something coming, I do a grid. I do a grid on it. Hmm. I take, it's blank. It doesn't have the names of the states. It's just the United States, you know, just a blank map. I take, it doesn't have to be a red pen. It doesn't have to be a black one. But it has to be, I want it to be a pen because I don't want to erase it. And I do a grid from that coast inward. I've done this many times. I learned this from somebody many years ago. I bet you about 25 years ago somebody told me about this. And it works. It works. It's because I'm stopping the energy that's brewing. And I'm taking control of it on a piece of paper on this map that I have. And you're not going to do this. You are not going to do this. Now, like what happened in Texas, that came from the mid part of the United States, came from the east, and then it turned under and went up, like towards New Orleans and Austin, Texas, and all that. That... And I did not do a grid on that, and I should have. So now I'm really watching. Isn't that strange what I do? But that's what your mind can do. That's like you. You know, not that I would ever do what you do, but I'm just saying, you know, people have to understand what the mind can do. What energy, if you pull in the right energy and you put out the right energy. That's how things can happen. Good things. I'm not talking about this bad stuff. I told you, if I could change, and I've told this to somebody who's probably listening right now, if I could change the world, if I had the tools, I would do it in a heartbeat. I could do it. But unfortunately, I can't do that. But I don't really like what's going on, but I do so much like what you're doing and your partner are doing and all the people like you are doing. You are putting out this beautiful energy to the world by how, and people, I hope they're listening, about how you behave, what you do, how it reflects upon everybody else. And, I want to talk about your site a little bit. We still have time. And then I still want to talk about your book. Anyways, you can go to maharanimonk.com. That's maharanimonk.com. What a beautiful smile she has. You're going to go there and you're going to see her. I don't know what you're thinking you're going to see, like some stern-looking woman that, and only the nuns were like that. This is not like this at all. This is a beautiful woman who has chosen this path, helping, putting out all this good energy, and I know that's what you do. I know that's what you do. I meditate when I'm having, and people have heard me say this before, and you'll probably attest to this, when I'm having kind of like a distraught kind of period of time, thinking of the past and what I had to do, I sit down with my cat. My cat, always, when I sit down on my couch or sofa, whatever you want to call it, my cat is always there all the time. Time to go sit with mom. I go sit with my mom. And he'll be on the arm of it, and he gets really close. And I just sit there. Nothing is on, no phones, no nothing. And I just close my eyes, and I don't even think. I just sit there, quiet. And in about, I don't know, I don't even know how long it is, I open my eyes, I get up, and I'm good to go. Whatever was on my mind before, it's gone. It's back there, but I took control of it. I shoved it to the back, put it in the closet, and closed the door. I probably locked the door, knowing me, so it wouldn't come out. But I think what you're doing, and I'm just so honored to just talk with you, and I want to make sure people find your book. It's on Amazon, and it will be in my bookstore, my Akashic bookstore as well. And I think you'll derive an awful lot from it, and hopefully we'll have more people listen to the broadcast about you. And I will... Candy, and she's listening. Candy will eventually do a video audio, and it'll be on my YouTube channel. She just said, here we go. She says, have you experienced domestic abuse in previous relationships? And if so, did this help guide you to live the life you live today? What a great question. Did you ever, this was when you were a wild child. Go back. Did you experience any kind of emotional, physical, mental abuse from anybody that was in your life?
Well, I had an experience of sexual abuse, which was really hard for me, in the moment. And I do think it helped me massively to get on my path, because from a very early age, I feel like I kind of woke up to this whole idea of belonging to a society or this kind of power thing or, all these kind of things that you grow up thinking that's the right thing to do, climbing up in society and being somebody. And because of the nature of what happened and the people that were involved in it, I was like, actually, this is not what life is about. And so I was always looking for genuine people and honest people and good people. It set me off on a different path than the people around me, which I'm very grateful for. So I do think it helped me massively then to heal that, that trauma or that sexual abuse experience. Luckily, I've never been involved in a relationship where there's, I've never been involved in something bigger than that when it comes to like constant abuse or something like that, which I'm very grateful for.
I had a gal on my show maybe a month or so ago who was actually caught up in that abuse, but it was sex trafficking. And I mean, when I talked to her and what she accomplished with her life, I mean, I tears would well up in my eyes because it took the greatest strength to deal with that. It really, really did. Sometimes it can be really tough on people. So back to your book. How long did it take you to write this?
I would say maybe 10 weeks, but split. So I went for it for like 4 weeks, and then I didn't write, I think, for 6 months, and then I went again for other 4 weeks.
Okay.
And because although I am disciplined in my practice, it's hard for me to just, like, I love doing a lot of different things, And so, you know, I can get really focused on one and completely forget about the other. And so it took a couple of people to keep me on track.
Well, it keeps you on your toes. You know, it really, really does. And you have to be diverse. I don't know how, I mean, I have some authors that I've talked to and they said, well, oh, no, I just sit down every day and I write. Oh, God, I mean, I couldn't do that, not with what I do. I'm bouncing from here and there. And they always say to me, well, don't do that. Just sit down when you get the feeling to sit down. You write a page, two, three, whatever, and then come back to it. Put it someplace and then come back to it. And you have to really think of it like that, that you're not, it's really not you that's doing this. I mean, I like to believe it's the divine that's guiding you. Okay, Natalie, it's not time to do this right now. Just go take care of this and go take care of that. And that's exactly what I do. But your book is on Amazon. It's called Whole-Ass, Stop Living a Half-Assed Life and Enjoy an Extraordinary Existence. And then it says, so you can play your part in making this world a better place. It's on Amazon. You can get it Kindle. You can get the paperback. And it will be in my bookstore. I'll make sure that it goes in there. As a matter of fact, I've already sent it off to my webmaster to put in there. And sometime I would like to have you back, Maharani. I would really, like maybe sometime next year in the spring or something. And I have to say, are you writing another book?
Not yet, but I do have
you have it in your head. Yes, okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, you must. You must tell people, maybe you can even put this somehow, about your life, how it's going, how you just sound like you're so serene, like it's calm and you know, you deal with things as they come along. But I almost think like you're exempt, that you know what that word is, you're exempt from things because of this energy that's around you. And I'm just so grateful and honored that you came on my show. I mean, I was hoping you would. And your lovely publicist was the one that said, oh, yeah, I can get her. Okay, let's get her. And that's Katie. And, you know, and I'm glad we worked out the time. Let me go back to see if Candy's got something else that she would like to say. No, she's all set. Okay. You know, thank you again for coming on my show.
Thank you.
And it'll be
thank
in my
you,
blog
Abby.
Tomorrow. I'll have the link in there tomorrow. And Candy will do her thing. And once this show is done, then I go and put it on Twitter, and then she runs all over the world with it. I mean, that's what she does. And she's probably laughing and smiling because she's got these magic fingers that she just, okay, I'll do this, and off she goes. And sometimes I'll see something come on my phone that she's posted something someplace or posted something else someplace else. And so I go and follow it, and I'll share it. And, you know, it's a lot of teamwork. You know, she sets up the show for me, the show page and everything, and I have to give her credit where credit is due because she does an awful lot for me. And she's very conscientious, and she said, thanks for sharing this time with us, to you, she's saying that. I'm very, very grateful. You have an awesome evening. And as usual, I'm going to end the show with something, and you're probably going to really like this. This is how I end my show, and that is, and don't forget, Maharani, we're going to do this again next year. I will contact Katie.
Absolutely.
Yes, I want to hear your voice. I want to get that calmness out there. We'll see where the world is at that point in time. But anyways, I'm going to end the show like I always do, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I will say goodbye and see you next week. Much love to you, Maharani.
Thank you so much, Natalie. This was a great pleasure. Thank you.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limit. night.